Unhallowed Graves by Nuzo Ono. Unhallowed Graves by Nuzo Ono is a seminal work of African Gothic horror, composed of three haunting novellas that explore the intersections of West African mythology, generational trauma, and the supernatural. The book delves into the unhallowed spaces where the living and the dead collide, often through themes of betrayal, ritual, and the heavy price of survival. The Unclean, The Tragedy of Desdemona, and The Tree of Truth, The Trial in Ikari Forest. The first story, The Unclean, opens in the Ikari Forest. At 9 p.m., the protagonist, Desdemona, Desi, is kneeling beside the putrid, bloated corpse of her husband, Agu. She is undergoing a trial by corpse, a traditional ritual where a widow must spend 3 nights alone with her husband's body to prove she did not kill him. Desi is trapped within a salt-lined boundary set by witch doctors, under the watchful branches of the Iroko tree, known as the Tree of Truth, the final arbiter of justice in Ikari. Desi reflects on her accursed status as a widow without a son, describing herself as exposed to the flings and thumps of the merciless force of nature. She recalls the events that led to this nightmare, beginning with her marriage in 1953. The marriage to Agu. Desi was a bright, light-skinned girl with an education that her father, Yuka, intended to use to command a good bride price. She hoped for a career in teaching, but her father married her off to Agu, a short, arrogant, and wealthy trader from the Onori clan. Desi felt an immediate, soul rejection of Agu, sensing they were antagonists in a previous life. Her marriage was a matrimonial hell. After 4 years without a child, she was subjected to abuse by Agu and his 3 fat sisters. Agu's eldest sister, Uzo, eventually took Desi to a witch doctor who branded her an Ogbanje, a cursed water spirit, and a daughter of the river Niger. This revelation turned the entire village against her. Agu responded with extreme physical violence, dragging her by the hair and beating her with belts and birch whips. Desi fled to her father's house, seeking protection. However, her father refused to take her back, telling her she was her husband's chattel, and demanding she return to Ikari to avoid the dishonor of a divorce and a dowry refund. The miracle of Abuka and the Viper's Strike. Desi's mother and sister, Goneril, Gono, secretly directed her to Pastor Brother Ezekiel of the Cherubim and Seraphim Church. Through a ritual involving animal sacrifice and consecrated water, Desi conceived a son, Abuka, Chukwu Abuka. For a time, her status improved. She was Mama Abuka, a woman who had fulfilled her calling. This bliss ended on the eve of the New Yam Festival when Abuka was killed by the venomous viper Akayateka. Desi was devastated and broke a sacred taboo by holding her son's lifeless body for hours. Abuka was buried in Aho Ofia, the bad bush, a desolate place for the unclean, dead whose names are to be forgotten forever, the dark ritual of Ogbenigwe. Desperate to bring Abuka back, Desi turned to a powerful and terrifying witch doctor named Ogbenigwe. He that kills in multitudes. Ogbenigwe agreed to help her through reincarnation, but demanded a steep price, blood and the hair of the dead. Desi made a terrifying midnight journey to Aho Ofia, guided by the ghost of Abuka. She witnessed the soulless inhabitants of the bad bush mothers with rotten fetuses and victims of suicide. She eventually dug up Abuka's bones to retrieve a clump of his immortal hair. To complete the charm, she also had to steal hair from Inwana, the infant son of Agu's second wife, Enu, the price of blood and the final judgment. Ogbenigwe's charms worked to an extent. Agu became obsessed with Desi again, but his genitals developed a festering, grotesque infection involving moles, spikes, and pus. Meanwhile, Inwana died of a sudden illness. When Desi confronted Ogbenigwe, he revealed the truth of the occult trade, a life for a life, a son for a son. Agu eventually died of the infection in Desi's bed. Accused of witchcraft and murder, Desi was forced into the forest for judgment. On her final night, the ghosts of the forest emerged. She saw Abuka, but he rejected her, screaming that she had lied because he did not belong to Agu's bloodline and was doomed to Aho Ofia forever. The Tree of Truth suddenly came alive as Agu's rotting corpse rose from the mat. In a final, gruesome scene, the zombie ghoul of her husband physically and spiritually assaulted her, pulling her soul into the foul and restless fold of the dead, too. Night Market, Oyerale, The Diplomat's Descent into the Undead Trade, The Encounter on the Road. The second story follows Alan Pearson, a British commercial attaché living in Lagos. While driving back from Benin City during a thunderstorm, Alan insisted his driver, Olu, pick up a drenched girl on the roadside. Olu was terrified, identifying the girl as a quarter to dead, a person who has sold their life at the night market, Oyerale. Alan, dismissive of superstitious mumbo-jumbo, ignored Olu's warnings. However, the girl exhibited an unexpected metal clamp strength when she touched Alan's arm. She eventually escaped the car, but not before Alan glimpsed her face, a mummified skull. With a yawning black hole for a nose, she stole Alan's wife's lilac M&S cardigan, the lore of Oya Ale. Olu explained the mechanics of the night market. It is a place where the dead trade with human lives. People can buy money, fame, or health, but each transaction costs a quarter of their life. When a person reaches quarter to dead, they begin to smell of decay and their skin becomes like an ancient corpse. These individuals eventually return as comebacks, beings with albino eyes who must hide behind sunglasses, Laura's sacrifice. Alan soon suffered a ghastly car accident that killed the old man and the driver he had hired to find the night market. Alan survived but was left blind, paralyzed from the waist down, and suffering from amnesia. His wife, Laura, was devastated. The evil thing from the road began haunting their house, wearing her stolen cardigan. The creature promised Laura she could buy back Alan's memory, his legs, and his sight at the night market. Laura made three separate trades. A quarter of her life for his memory, a quarter of her life for his legs, the remaining half of her life for his eyesight. By the time Alan regained his sight, he found that Laura had withered into a shriveled mummy and committed suicide via sleeping pills to spare him the sight of the ghoulish nightmare she had become. The comeback in Bissy's body. Alan returned to England with Laura's ashes, but was contacted by his former secretary, Bissy, who was livid. Bissy revealed that Laura's ghost had tried to use her life to return. Alan flew back to Lagos and was met by Bissy at his home. In a shocking twist, Bissy revealed she was Laura. Laura's spirit had purchased Bissy's body in a single transaction at the night market, leaving Bissy's soul trapped in Laura's former stall. Laura, now inhabiting Bissy's sexy body, mocked Alan, showing him she had no shadow and revealing albino eyes. Behind her sunglasses, she was a spoiled, tainted comeback, a warped spirit in the body of the woman Alan had once lusted after. 3. Our bones shall rise again, the rebirth of a witch doctor, the betrayal of Oba. The final story is a multi-generational epic centered on Oba, a great witch doctor, and his son Abina. The first part begins with Oba being awakened by the Azaga drums of the ancestors, signaling an imminent death in the village. Oba lived with his two sons, the indolent Ikena and the mute, psychic Abina. Oba's power was rooted in his lifestone, a blood-drenched pebble embedded in a pulsating human heart, the Obi Dimka. He was betrayed by his first wife, Ugodia, and her brother, Obianuju, who sought to bring the dead god, Christianity, to the village. Obianuju stole the lifestone, rendering Oba powerless. During a raid by white demons, slave traders, Oba's second wife, Uzo, was decapitated by Obianuju. Oba and his kinsmen were captured and taken onto a slave ship. On the ship, the great goddess of the river, Igboma Oromiri, called to them, promising the bones shall rise again. Oba and his men chose to walk into the sea, choosing a watery grave over servitude, Abina and the river ghouls. 16 years later, Abina was a grown man living in exile in the village of Ajoto with his grandmother, Nedi. Abina possessed the gift of the second eye, the ability to see death dates and read minds, but was haunted by river ghouls, the chained skeletons of his father and kinsmen who begged to be brought home. A python deity visited Abina and transported him to the undersea realm. There, he reunited with the spirit of Oba, who instructed him to retrieve the lifestone from Ugodia so they could finally achieve reincarnation during the feast of Olusi Onwu, the theft of the lifestone. With a charm of invisibility provided by Nedi, Abina returned to his father's old compound. He found it desecrated, the great shrine tree had been felled, and Obianuju and Ugodia were living in an incestuous affair under a wooden cross. Abina successfully retrieved the lifestone from its hiding place under a grinding stone. Nedi and Abina then performed a dark ritual in Aho Ophia to extract a fresh heart from a corpse to house the lifestone. Abina provided his own blood to reanimate the stone, which began to pulsate with life, the resurrection and the final revenge. During the night of Olusi Onwu, Abina entered the river and allowed the chained ghouls to take the lifestone. The lifestone embedded itself in Abina's heart, and Oba's spirit took possession of his son's body. Oba, in Abina's body, returned to the village, now possessing the power of speech. He confronted Obianuju and Ugodia, revealing his true identity and killing them both with a knife. However, a mob of villagers, led by the treacherous Ikena, who claimed Oba was a bastard trying to steal his birthright, descended upon him. Oba was beaten to death, his lifestone rolling away. In his final moments, he crawled to the stump of the great shrine tree and buried the lifestone beneath its roots, ensuring he and Abinna would remain together for eternity. The epilogue, the twins of Nenna. The legend of Oba's return lived on. Abinna's bride, Nenna, died giving birth to twin boys. One twin, missing a right ear, was a mute charm maker of immense power. The other had the second sight and was a brilliant artist. The artist twin created a haunting drawing of the chained skeletons. Under the river, the only piece of work he refused to give to the white men, keeping it hidden in the secret shrine of Olusi Onwu. Key thematic components across the book: lore and cosmology. Ono utilizes traditional Igbo concepts such as Chi, personal god, Ogbanje, spirit children, and Ndichi, venerated ancestors, to create a world where spiritual laws are as rigid as physical ones. The weight of taboo. In The Unclean, the breaking of the taboo regarding dead children triggers a communal curse, illustrating the protagonist's isolation from her society, gender and power. The female characters Desdemona, Laura, and Nedi exercise power in unconventional ways. Nedi is a man-woman who holds higher status than many village men, while Laura uses her own life as a currency for Alan's. Colonialism and religion, the white demons, and the dead god, are portrayed as a disruptive force that destroys traditional harmony, as seen in the betrayal of Oba and the civilized arrogance of Alan Pearson. Vengeance and reincarnation, the dead are never truly gone. They seek justice through reincarnation. The unclean, possession, night market, or ancestral return, our bones shall rise again. Unhallowed Graves serves as a meticulous accounting of the price of the supernatural, suggesting that in a world of ancient gods and spirits, every desire, whether for a son, health, or justice, demands a sacrifice in blood. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.